following program is a collection of Stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm your host. You have to forgive me if I'm a little worse than usual. It is 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, so it's a little early for me. I just woke up. We're going to get into it because my guest today is super busy. I've got a tight window, and I'm already late to this because I thought we were doing it later. The detailsolutionspodcast.com, that is the website where you can find anything for the podcast. It's going to be where you can find the links to social media, links to where you can listen to it, where you can watch it, although hopefully you're listening to it already, so you know where to find it. We also have our preferred vendor page. That is our wonderful ad partners. So on the preferred vendor page, it's going to have a little bit about their company. It's either going to have a coupon code or a mention the podcast when you talk to them for a discount. And then it'll have a link to take you right to their webpage. So you can go on and spend a little bit of money with them, and they're going to spend some money with me, and we're all going to have a big laugh. So we're going to have that hashtag money, money, funny, and all enjoy ourselves. And then we have the drip shop. We have the store where you can go and buy some merch. We have the Concaster shirts. We have the logo shirt. And we have the embroidered hat that everybody seems to like. So go check that out. We also do have the YouTube page. Again, I'm a little bit behind, but I'm going to try to work on that this weekend. The Detail Solutions Podcast is a channel over there. Actually, sorry, it's the Detail Solutions Podcast and then the number one, because it's the new page. So we will be streaming the Wednesday What's On Your Mind lives over there like we do on the Facebook page, and then putting the videos up there. And then the TikTok is the Detail Solutions Pod. Go like, share, follow, subscribe, all that stuff for those things. Plus the podcast. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification bell, leave a 5-star review, all that fun stuff. And again, May 3rd through the 5th, that weekend, I will be at Red's for the Jess Carr / Angel Wax training. I think Tommy's got that information. I think you can go on the, Angel Wax US page and, scroll down to their events and sign up for that. That's going to be a good one. Get some training from Noxie and from Rain. All right. So I'm excited about this one. This one's been a long time in the making because my guest today is just unbelievably busy. Trying to get her locked down has been crazy. I've been pestering her like a crazy man for the last like year and a half, trying to like get something locked down. We finally did it. She was the highest or most viewed podcast until Jen's podcast came out. So I'm expecting her to take that crown back over again. So I'm going to talk to the lovely Esme, aka the Detailing Girl, when we come back from these commercial breaks. Is your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Auto Fiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order. The difference is in the details. And welcome, Esme, to the show. How are you doing? Oh, no, I lost your audio now. Your mic's muted, I think.
Now it's working.
There you go. There you go. How you doing?
Sorry, me and technology. No.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, thank you for doing this. I know you're super busy. I know we've been kind of like back and forth, I think, for like the last year or so, trying to figure out dates and that works for both of us. And then, of course, the time difference is always so crazy. So thank you for coming on and doing this. So, yeah, let's jump into it. So the last episode we did, you were way back in the beginning. I looked at it was October of 2020, I think it was. So you were one of the original, like, first, like, probably 30 or 40. And we had a great conversation. I didn't know that the audio ended up turning out so shit until way after, because I always wondered, like, how come it had the highest listens, but nobody really was listening all the way through it. And I finally went and listened to it, and I was like, oh, the audio is shit. So that's what got me on trying to get you back on again. But yeah, so last time I asked a bunch of dumb questions because I didn't know any better. So this time I'm just going to ask the one, and it's how, where, when, why did you get into detailing?
Oh gosh, that story.
Yeah.
I think it's about 8 or 9 years ago that I started in detailing, and it was mainly because I just needed a job and I didn't really know what detailing was. I did a lot of car cleaning myself, and I was already active in the car industry in the Netherlands, but more the tuning industry and more modeling and that kind of stuff. And I worked for a club owner, and that club owner, his best friend, he had a detailing studio and he was looking for somebody. And I asked him if it would be something for me, and he said, yeah, you can always try, you're a hard worker, so why not, you love cars. So I just walked in the studio and I asked for a chance. Only I was super blonde back then, I didn't have any tattoos, and I was like this girly girl on high heels and curls and everything. And he was like, oh my god, what the hell do I need to do with you? And I just asked for a chance. I said, I'll work for cash money, we do it a month, if it works out, we can see how it is. And if it doesn't work out, I will clean your detailing studio or something, and you have a really clean studio, and we'll part our ways. And I think Jurian from Angel X, he came in the second week that I was working for him, and he told the guy, you should watch out for her, because she is going to be a big one, because he said to me that I really had feeling for detailing, and I really enjoyed it, and they gave me a polisher, and I was straight away polishing, so... Yeah, that's where it all started. And yeah, look at me now.
Yeah, exactly. Look at you now. Yeah. So when you like first started doing it, did it just kind of seem to come natural to you, or was it like kind of, or were you very clumsy with it?
No, I was really, really natural with it, because normal interior cleaning is a bit like cleaning a home, only then more detailed. So that, yeah, I'm a woman. So yeah, I lived on my own for very long. So that part was really easy for me. And also the washing, because my ex-boyfriend and I always normal people go out to dinner at a Friday night, and we went out together and wash our cars. And he would always tell me how to do it. So I really knew a lot already. And the polishing, yeah, for me it was really easy. I don't know why, but they gave me a polish and I was straight away polishing. And I was always faster than the co-workers that were working with me. I always had better corrections, and I never could explain why, but I knew when I started in detailing, I always said I was born with a polisher in my hands. Yeah, it felt like it belonged there.
Right, yeah. So how long from working with him in that studio to you kind of going off on your own did you go, or how long was that time frame?
I think I worked for 4 years for him or something.
Oh, okay.
And he was not a really good employer. We had loads of fun, but he was more like, I always said he was an 18-year-old boy in his head, but a 40-year-old guy, and that doesn't work properly. I had so much stress from working for him that I didn't make sense anymore, and it kind of ruined my mind a bit. And then AngelX offered me a job, and I went to work for AngelX for a year, and I got my dream job because I was supposed to travel the world and give training all over the world. The first week I worked for them, they flew me over to Japan. I went to Tokyo, and it was an absolute dream for me because I wanted to see the world and experience it. And doing that with the passion that you have, yeah, who doesn't want this?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the same year that COVID started. And I think in March, I went to Bari, Italy. And the COVID also started in Bari, Italy, in Europe. Okay. We flew back, and then after that I couldn't fly anymore, so my job that I did for them was a bit gone, and they wanted that I would go to clients and sell their products only. Most people don't know this, but I'm not really social. I like to be on my own. I like to work alone. I think new people are a bit scary. Sounds a bit weird, but it's just a thing. So every time I went to a detailing studio with people that I didn't know, I was really anxious and panicking, even crying. And Jurjen knows it so well for me. I think I called him up so many times, crying, because I just didn't want to go. And after a year, we just talked to each other, and it was obvious that this wasn't working, and the lens weren't opening anymore because COVID was happening. So I needed to do something else. And that's why I started. I didn't even want my own studio at first because I like to be employed, and I had my dream job in the beginning. I just wanted to fly again.
Right.
But on accident, I started my own company.
Yeah.
And it's a good decision.
yeah. So, so you mainly started out, mobile, right? Because you have your van. You just got your studio like not too long ago. Like, you've been doing the mobile thing for longer.
2 years yesterday.
Yeah. Oh wow. Doesn't seem like it's been that long. Do you like the? Because I know you still do a lot of mobile work and everything, because you go to your clients and things like that. Do you prefer that more than being in the studio?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's weird, maybe, but I like every time we go to a client, you see another car collection. And some people have the most extreme, beautiful car collections that you've ever seen. Sometimes I open a door and I'm like a 10-minute silence and just looking around, because the cars that you see, you normally don't see.
Right.
And I am afraid of people, but this is different. I don't know why, but passionate people, like car enthusiasts and stuff, in their own home are very different, and I absolutely love working at location. And I'm also like, I also worked a lot in bars and stuff, so I work really good under pressure.
Okay.
And when I don't have that pressure, I have ADHD, so I'm all over the place. And when I work at location, I know I've got that deadline. And when I know I have that deadline, I work really fast.
Right,
and I
yeah.
absolutely love it that way. But when I work in my studio, I notice I wander off very fast, and I just start doing things that I don't need to be doing. And the work doesn't get done that I want to get done. So, yeah.
Okay. So when you're on location, I mean, some of these jobs you're doing, I mean, you're doing pretty big jobs, right? I mean, like, I've seen you doing full dry sands, polish out and stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously these are multiple day things. So, I mean, are these jobs always like pretty close to you that it's easy to drive back and forth every day, or is it?
No, I make a 14-hour day sometimes with driving and stuff, because most jobs are 1 hour to 1.5 hours, sometimes 2 hours away from me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sometimes I book a hotel, but yeah, it's expensive in the Netherlands to book a hotel. So that's, then I just drive. So I get up at, I think, 30 minutes past 5 in the morning, and I get home around 10 or 11 in the evening. And then the next day I go back. Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. That's crazy. When you book the hotel, do you put that pricing like in the quote, like if you're like, hey, you know, it's, you know, I have to, this is going to be like a multi-day thing. I have to, you know, book a hotel or whatever. So, you know, you have to pay travel charges.
Yeah, I charge travel charges. I don't always say to the client I'm in a hotel. I don't always want them to know that I'm near.
Okay.
Sounds weird also.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
I am a woman in a men's world. And yeah, sometimes you just don't want your client to know you're near them in the evening.
Right, right. Yeah. So you just do it as a travel charge then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's cool. Because I mean, it's like over here, you know, I mean, obviously it's different. There's not a lot of guys that at least, or even girls that I know of that, you know, the, on the mobile side that are doing, you know, that are driving kind of that far without doing some kind of travel charge. Like most everybody tries to stay, it seems like, in like a, you know, half an hour, hour-ish window radius, you know, from wherever their home is or from their shop or something like that. So it is a little different, it seems like. It's the one thing I always like about talking to the detailers that aren't in the U.S. is to see kind of the difference of how we do things versus how, you know, you guys do things. It's different.
That's weird because nobody in the Netherlands does it the way I do.
But it's
also my power from my company, I think, because people know I go to their location, and I always say, I want to work inside. I don't work outside. That's selling, and nothing wrong with it, but it's not sanding, polishing like I do, and I just don't want to work outside. So I say I need good coffee. I need to stay, that I can work inside, and in the winter it needs to be above 15. Because I'm not gonna freeze to death while working, and I did that in the beginning once. I'm never gonna do that again.
Yeah,
you can't move your hands and stuff, and your knees. Oh, when the cold get in your knees, it's just you're done, and it's not fun to work like this. But yeah, I don't mind the traveling, and I love my van and driving in it. So,
yeah, no, it's cool. So, with the when you got the studio, what was the thought behind doing that then, if you like the driving and like going to other places, like, you know, why did you spend the money on the studio then?
Well, before this, I lived in a really small home also. It only had one bedroom. I lived in the city, so I couldn't get my car near my home. So I worked mobile, but my van needed to be, 15 minutes to 20 minutes walk from my home with all my stuff inside. And there were no parking garages near my home. If we wanted to park it in a parking garage, it was 30 minutes walking. And I don't want to walk 30 minutes in the morning. I like mornings, but not that much.
Yeah.
And I do have clients that like the motorcycle. Yeah, you can see if you're watching YouTube. But I do have clients that like to bring their car, and they don't have a garage or anything back home. So I wanted to have the multiple options for my clients. And I did a lot of, I worked a lot in a place like this, similar with my neighbor. He's now my neighbor, but he was a really good friend of mine. And he was building this, and he was like, I've got the perfect solution for you. It's because it's living and working together.
Oh, okay.
So for me, it was moving to a bigger home. I could park my car inside, and I had my detailing studio near, so it's like a drive-in garage.
That's perfect. You just walk downstairs and you're at
it's
work,
perfect, but also not, because you can also walk really easy upstairs. And when you're busy and you want to go for something to drink, you go upstairs, you sit down, but it's easy to keep sitting down.
I think that's the I think that's kind of like every detailer's dream, is to be able to have like, you know, an at-home studio or an at-home, you know, shop or something like that. I mean, that was something I always wanted to do, because we have behind this wall over here, we have extra property, and I wanted to build like a big like a 40 by 50 three car building kind of garage over there, and just be able to work from home. But we're not like zoned for it, as far as like for permitting and everything like that. And there's not a lot around us. I could probably get away with it, but like, I always think, like, you know, all it takes is, you know, one person to say something, and then the county or the city, you know, could shut me down. And then, you know, so I'm very fortunate. The shop I have now is only like 4 miles from the house, so it's not too bad. So,
but it's better, believe me, because when you have it at your home, you're never off.
Yeah,
if there's a car downstairs, you've got nothing to do upstairs, you go downstairs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And you know, the couple of times that I've done things here at the house, back in the beginning, I find myself inside more than outside because Florida, it's hot, and I find myself going inside for the AC, and then it's harder to go back outside into the heat again. So, yeah, it is a little bit better when I'm just stuck at the shop. It keeps me more focused on what I've got to do at the shop. But no, that's a cool setup that you have. It's kind of, I guess like over here, they call them like condo suites over here, like where you can have like garage space and living space, at the same time. Yeah. So how did the Detailing Girl come about? Like, cause that's your whole like branding. I mean, everybody kind of knows, you know, your first name, Esme, but I think everybody knows you by the Detailing Girl. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's pretty simple, right? Like you're a girl and you detail, but where did that idea come from? And then how did that kind of become your brand?
Well, I wasn't even on Instagram when I started Detailing Girl. A friend of mine, she just said to me, "Hey, you should post a photo online. That's awesome. Do it." And I was like, "Yeah, why not? Not many women do this." So I started posting online. And for me, I was really lucky that I was one of the first that I was that active, because Jennifer was also online already. I really look up to her and I still do. Back then she was my ultimate dream. I just wanted to meet her, wanted to be her, what she was.
She's not that cool in person. It's okay. It's
no, I actually, but she knows it. I talk to her sometimes. I absolutely love her. And I started posting more regularly. I showed up daily, I did the stories, and it became a bit of a thing. And the Detailers Bible and Detailers United. And I also think you had back then Detailers Memos. They picked up my Instagram and they showed a lot from my Instagram, because I was one of the only women posting that much.
Right.
And that for me, made a bit my success, I think. And I talked so much to my to my followers and fans and stuff, and it just blew up. It was never meant to be this big. I was never searching to be Insta famous, or how do you call it?
Yeah.
But it just happened, and at one point people always started to say to me, "Yeah, you're an influencer," and I felt a bit insulted, because I was like, "I'm not an influencer.
Yeah,
I'm just a detailer like everybody else." I felt really insulted, but now I'm an influencer and a Detailing Girl, and I've got so much to thank for it, because I didn't have anything before I started. I worked behind the bar and I had this really small living space, and I didn't have much future. I didn't have much money, and Detailing Girl, the Instagram. Yeah, I worked this together for myself, my detailing studio, and I'm really thankful for everything I got with social media. And still people think you get it for free, but it's so much hard work.
Because
I take long hours. I go to clients and then come back home, but then Instagram is still there. You still need to do it. You can't edit a video or those things in your client's time. So my days are very long some days.
Right. See, that's the thing that I always have an issue with is, and I mean, it's a little bit different because I'm not like at a client's place, but like, I know I've got a job to do when I'm working in the shop. And so like, I like thinking about taking pictures or video doesn't even come up, you know, when I'm doing it. So how do you kind of like, okay, you know, you're here for a certain amount of time, you know, you've got to get this job done. How do you, you know, go, okay, but I've got to get content. So like, how do you know to like stop, set up a camera, or, you know, I think some of the videos I've seen that you've done is, you know, it looks like you have somebody kind of like walk around, like as you're, you know, kind of doing like a panning motion or something like that as you're working. So like, how do you set all that up? Like, how do you take that time to do that?
I get the question sometimes from people, do you have a cameraman 24/7 with you? Well, no, I don't. I wish I did. Sometimes a client just does it because they're really excited and they really like what you're doing. And they actually love seeing their car back on Instagram. So yeah, they'll make the videos for you. But most of the time I do everything myself. I'm a bit of a control freak and I'm a perfectionist also. Perfect for detailing, but not for yourself as a person. But yeah, I just set up the camera in different angles and just work and make videos most of the time from 5 minutes. And I've got, after a day's work, I think I've got 20 videos of 5 minutes. Then I go back home, I go look at all those videos and edit small pieces from those videos and make a complete video out of it. And the photos you see on my Instagram are just screenshots from those videos. And I edit them in Lightroom. So normally I spend all my content, I think 30 hours a week next to the detailing. Yeah, most followers always say to me, I want to grow on Instagram, but I don't have the time. And I always think, yeah, I also don't have the time, but you have to make the time if you want.
Right, exactly, yeah. And do you use like one of those scheduling apps that like you, so like when you, so you're literally like, okay, I need to post one, because you post multiple times a day. I mean, obviously that's how you grow a following, right? Is they say you're supposed to post like 3 to 5 times a day or something like that. So you don't preset it up to where it just does it for you. You're just actually stopping during the day and time to make a post.
No, but I don't post my videos on my main screen, on my feed, I think it's called, on Instagram. I don't post those many times a day, just once, mostly. And that's around 6 at my time, and mostly 6 we're done with working. And the videos that I normally post are videos that I made the day before. So when I come home, I edit the video and I do make it. I also type out the caption and everything and the hashtags, and I just set it up. And then, around 5 and 6, I post it myself because I don't trust those apps. I'm afraid I do something wrong. And,
yeah.
So for me, yeah, it's the control freaking thing again. Right. I also hired a girl to help me out with the social media, and I'm already doing it myself. Not that she wasn't doing it a good job, but it's just, I need to have that control because my social media page, it sounds a bit sad maybe, but it's my everything. And then it's not because I can't live without it, but my whole company runs on social media.
Right.
That's why I also show up so many times, because I never went to a client. I never went to a car dealership. I never went to anybody's home. I never sold myself. My work sells itself on Instagram. So my clients send me DMs. Oh, I've got a car for you. And do you have time? And this is how I get my clients and how I get my work. So I need to post. I need to be active. I need to show up. But I do the stories I do multiple times a day. But those aren't edits. It's just...
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, let's do a commercial break real quick and we'll come back and talk a little bit more. We'll be right back. Bon is a leading provider of tent, paint protection film, and ceramic coatings. Experience the transformation as you cool down your vehicle and elevate its curb appeal with Autobahn's window tint. Ditch rock chips and scratches by fortifying your paint with Autobahn's cutting-edge paint protection film. And for an additional safeguard, add a ceramic coating. Backed by an unwavering lifetime warranty, Autobahn's products form automotive armor with no limits. Visit AutobahnFilms.com to delve deeper into the realm of automotive care and protection. Okay. So yeah, with your stories, I guess they are, right? Like a lot of times you're just in the van driving and it's just it sounds like it's off the top of the head, you know, hey, whatever. But is it off the top of the head or do you kind of like plan it out? Like I'm gonna, you know, like, hey, I'm driving, so I'll put the camera on the stand and I'll just talk while I'm driving kind of thing.
My followers love it when I do this because it makes it more personal. I didn't do it for a very long time. I was the long hours. I was a bit depressed for, I think, 2 years. And that's now a year ago. And I didn't do those things. And someone is helping me a bit with the business stuff because it's a lot. And he told me, do those videos, those raw videos of you after a job when you're excited and just be you. And I was like, yeah, why don't I do those things? Because it's really easy. And I always get such a nice feedback that my followers absolutely love it because I'm so personal and I'm so myself and it's so raw. And you even see me stutter sometimes.
Yeah.
Or I cry, I smile, I laugh. It's just me. No, you can't fake the stuttering.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, right. But you're right. It does make it more real and genuine, right? And that's why, you know, a couple of years back, I made the decision to, because again, you know, the first time you were on, I had like a list of like questions that I, you know, do you do this? How do you do that? You know, yada, 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 whatever. And eventually, and eventually one episode, like I remember it was Giancarlo's episode. And he was kind of like a last minute schedule. And so I didn't have time to do those, to go and like write down those questions or whatever. And so I just kind of was like, hey, we're just going to wing this. And after that episode, everybody was like, man, that was a really good episode just because it was like a real conversation. It wasn't, you know, Alex asking this question and wait for an answer and then ask another question, wait for an answer. So I think you're right. When you do those and it's raw and it's unedited and the stutters and the ums and the whatever, it makes everybody feel more connected with you. And that's what I've done with this podcast. I could go in and edit out a bunch of stuff, but it's better to leave it raw. It makes it, you know, I've always said what I've always wanted this to be is like if you and I were sitting or me and the guests, whoever, right? We're sitting at a restaurant table having this conversation and everybody in the restaurant is hearing it, you know? I that's what I wanted it to be. So no, I think it's great that you do that and they're raw and they're unedited.
Yeah, me too. For me, yeah, I think people want the authentic you and that's really important. And yeah, you can't fake those things. And yeah, also you see it more often also online when you want to be with your followers, be yourself. I always say this to others. Sometimes it's a bit annoying. I have these little tics also in my video because I'm really happy as a person and then people start copying my tics. Like when I stutter or when I do something wrong, they start copying it. And I'm like, oh, be yourself, be authentic. People would love you so much more if you are. And
right.
You can fake it for a year maybe, but at one point the real you has to come out because then it will be exhausting, I think. And it's already exhausting. You know this, I think you have to get up at 7 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
So it is exhausting. And if you're not yourself and if you're putting on an act and trying to be something that you're not, it's going to be more exhausting. You will never keep up.
Right. No, exactly. How easy or how hard is it to, you know, connect with your followers? Because, you know, the first time we did this, I think you were at, I think around 60,000 followers. I mean, now you're at like 220 or something like that, I think. So I can only imagine that your inbox just probably has a number next to it that not a lot of people see, right? With messages. So, and that's where I know, like, you know, and again, I'm very appreciative that, you know, that you do, you know, reach back out to me and you've always been very nice to, you know, with anything that I've asked you, either detail wise or podcast wise or whatever. But I do know that sometimes like, hey, I might have to message her again because my message might be all the way down at the bottom or something like that. And I know that's a little bit why it's, you know, sometimes it's been hard for us to message, but how do you take that time? You know, again, you're in, you know, like you said, you're, you know, from 5 o'clock in the morning to sometimes 10 o'clock at night, and then you've got to edit videos and try to do. So then how do you take that time to kind of message people back or do you kind of prioritize how you message them back?
I just don't have a private life. That helps. I work a lot. My friends are really, they know me. So they're not that, how do you say it, on me all the time.
Yeah.
But my followers, yeah, I try to get back to most of them, but it's really hard. I also say a lot of followers that know me for a long while, they do the same thing. They just push their message up to the top because I get... I knew in the beginning I got 50 DMs a day, then I got 100 to 150 DMs a day, and now on a good day I get about 250 to 300 DMs a day. But that's not just on Instagram, because it's also on Facebook, it's on TikTok, it's on LinkedIn, it's on WhatsApp, and it's so much. And how I do it, I don't know. Sometimes I still don't know. I just try to answer a lot of DMs, and I try to keep up with them. But like you said, sometimes luck get lost in the bottom. And Instagram shows only my number of DMs for 2 days, I think. And then the number is gone. And as long as the number is on, I know there are DMs that I need to reply on. But when that number is gone, I just completely forget sometimes also to reply. So for all my followers that I did forget to reply on, sorry, send another DM. Yeah, I try, but like I said, I try to also have a bit of a personal life. I try it since January more, because like I said, I was depressed. Because when you do the editing, do the videos, do the social media pages, do your own business, do the administration, don't live, don't go out, don't go clubbing, don't go with friends, you get a bit depressed and overwhelmed, I think. So I try to make more time for myself nowadays. And sometimes DM will
not be answered. Well, in order to be healthy too, you do have to have that time for yourself. I mean, you do have to at one point, take the phone and just set it down and be okay with it, being there for
every night at 10 p.m. my phone shuts off. It does it. I set it up with my phone.
Yeah.
So from 10 p.m. it's my own time. I can watch my series, because when you're all the time online and replying to others, your head stays on and it stays on and stays on and stays on, and you just can't sleep. You're anxious. So for me, the podcast with you and Jennifer, it really hit me also. I listened to it, and what she also said with the smoking and stuff, I did that also 2 years ago. So that was for me my release system also a bit, and now I have to do it all myself and keep myself down a bit. And so that's why at 10 my phone shuts off and it's me time, and everybody can just, only my best friend can call me, and my mom and my grandma and further.
No, but that's good. That's good. What was I going to say? Oh, so with the DMs and stuff that you get, is do you get a lot of detailers, asking you how to's, hey, I'm working on this, or I've got this, or how do you do this? How do you reply? I mean, do you try to coach them along, or do you just, hey, look, this is how I do it, and kind of, cause I mean, you don't want to constantly be giving away information for free, right? I mean, it's your time. You can't be, holding somebody's hand, via messages or DMs or whatever all the time for detailing.
Well, I do try to help a bit. I'm not someone that charges for her knowledge, because I also learned from others, and I didn't make it this big if my followers weren't there. So I also think I owe them a bit, but when somebody asks me something, I try to make a video on it and reply back on this so that I can help more people with it, and I just don't have to reply to one person all the time. But sometimes I do reply, and sometimes I've got old videos that can help them. I just send a link. Yeah, here's the link. I did this and this. Maybe this can help you a bit. And I just try to do it like this. But yeah, I don't reply on everything anymore, because it's I just can't. It's so much sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So earlier you kind of were talking about your dream job with Angel Wax, right? And being able to, the goal was to travel around and do some training and promotional stuff or whatever. Have you ever thought about doing, like, you know, the detail girl training, like, whatever, and you know, whether it's in your studio or you know, if somebody wants you to, you know, come to them, have you ever thought about doing that as a service or offering that as a service?
Yes, I have. I won't do it at my studio because I also live upstairs, and for me it's a bit too much in my private zone because I'm a very private person. And
right.
Because of social media, I've been through some things with some followers and not good things. So I keep to myself on this part. And it's a training I really want to, but yeah, it's gonna sound a bit weird maybe, but I'm shy a bit, and I know always what I do and why I do it, but it's really hard to explain to somebody else. And I started those trainings with AngelX, but I never got the real, I asked a lot for guidance to help me to become a trainer, and yeah. I never got it. And because I was already a bit self-conscious on those things, it got me even more self-conscious. And now I'm a bit afraid for those things, but it's the most asked question on my Instagram. Do you give training? Can you help me? Can you give me a training? Can I come to you for a training?
Yeah.
So I wanted to look into it. And I'm also talking with a company that I already work with, that they maybe can help me, give me a training on how to be a trainer.
Yeah.
So I get yeah.
No, that's interesting because what you said is exactly like how I feel, right? Like I don't have a bunch of people that have, you know, reached out to me, but over the past couple of years, I do have some people that are like, you know, hey, I'd love to come and train with you, or I'd love to do this or whatever. And just like you said, right? Like I know how to do it, and sometimes I know why, but I don't,
but not always.
But right. But at the same time, like I don't know how I would convey that to somebody, right? Like I always say on the podcast, like I go up and down and back and forth, and scratches go away. Like how, you know, like what am I?
You know, it's so like, shiny.
Yeah, I mean, I do know, like, you know, that there's a reason, you know, how the compound, the pad, and the machine work together, and then how me with all of those work together to getting that out. But for me to actually stand, you know, be in front of somebody and try to explain it to them, I don't know that I could explain it. I know how it all works. So yeah, it's funny that you said that because I feel the exact same way. So you have had a little bit of a dark side with social media too, it sounds like. Has that ever really kind of, I mean, I guess not because you're still doing it, but does it ever kind of deter you a little bit or make you think like, ooh, maybe I should like not post, you know, as much, or maybe, you know, not be as personable because I don't want these people thinking that there's a connection there that's not really there?
Yes. I've been stalked through Instagram, and not only through Instagram, in real life by a follower. And it was really extreme. The programs you see on TV people getting stalked. I've been through it all. I've stayed in hotels. I couldn't go home. It was really a lot.
Wow.
But like I said, my business runs on social media. So when I don't post, I don't get my clients, I don't get my money, I can't work, I can't do my thing, so I need to post. And it's really hard, especially around that time, because you feel scared and you don't want to be online and you don't want to see the messages and you don't want to be happy like it's fake or anything, and you still have to be online. So it's hard sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine. No, I can't, because nobody wants to stalk me. So they just want to make fun of me. They just want to make fun of me for not doing rockers, which I totally do. But so last question before we do our last commercial break. What advice would you give somebody who, you know, is looking into like, hey, I want to grow my social media. You know, I want to be able to try and gain clientele from social media. What's your kind of elevator, quick pitch, like these are the things to do.
Don't do the photos of the front of a car, the side of a car, the back of a car, and the inside of a car, because those are boring. Sorry. You see those all the time with detailers. They have the exact same photo over and over and over and over and over again. It looks nice on your feed, but if you don't have the followers, why let your feed look nice? That's what I always say, and I'm really straightforward. Don't think you don't have the time to do it, because you do have the time, and show your actual work. Show the before and afters. Show your face, because people want to see the people behind the company, because they want to know who's working on their car. They're going to spend their money on you. So show your face. Let them see who does the work. Introduce yourself or something on your page. Post regularly. And don't think your feed needs to be all pretty. Start first getting your followers in, and keep enjoying making the content, because I know how it is when you don't enjoy it anymore. People can also notice it, and that can also be a really down for people to follow you. And the rest, just show up. It sounds weird, but it really is. You have to show up and be there and do your work, do your thing, and show just what you can do, because that's your main selling point. If you want the clients, show them what you can do. Show them what you can do with their car. Show them your knowledge and that you actually love your job, because the one thing that sells best is passion.
Yeah.
That's what I hear from all my clients, is the passion that I have for my work and that I show on my Instagram. That's why they come to me, because they know when you have a lot of passion. I say it's always the same as a tattoo artist. I would never get myself tattooed by a tattoo artist that doesn't have any passion for their work. Because when you have passion for your work, you will always put in a bit more. You will always take a step more, because you love what you do. You don't mind doing that extra thing for them. And that's what clients know. And that's why your clients will come to you and stay with you.
Right. And it also works too for anybody listening kind of over here, where, you know, I know you do a lot of your business through the social media side, but you know, phone calls too. I mean, I think if you're, you know, hey, how you doing? Thanks for calling so-and-so's detail shop. You know, people are going to be like, you know, but if you're very upbeat and then they're at the customer's asking you a question and you're like, oh yeah. And you know, you're passionate about how you're explaining it to them. You're almost educating them versus just telling them what you do. It definitely helps as well. So I think you're right. There, you know, for sure, is you're selling yourself. So you have to make sure that you sound like you want to be doing it. Sound very knowledgeable, you know, because if those people are going to be spending the money that, let's face it, a lot of us are trying to charge or are charging, you know, because there's plenty of guys right down the street doing it for half price.
Yes, and we have those a lot in the Netherlands. Since COVID happened, oh my God, it's just crazy, and it's a crazy world out here.
It's all over. I mean, everybody I talk to, it seems like, you know, ever since COVID and people lost their jobs and, you know, people went into, I think, industries that, you know, are very easy to get into. I'm sure the lawn care guys or the maintenance, you know, guys or whatever are dealing with kind of the same thing, because anybody can go out and buy a lawnmower and say that they're a lawn care expert. You know, anybody can go to, you know, the Walmart here or whatever and buy a, you know, 5-gallon bucket of, you know, and some soap and a mitt and claim them to be a detailer. So,
we can sort out the mess they made every time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so let's do our last commercial break, and then we'll come back with the three thinking questions, and then I'll let you go, because I know you got super busy stuff to do. So we'll be right back.
Detailer knows what a detailer wants. Aquatech is a company founded by detailers for detailers.
Aquatech Coatings is a company that was founded on the frustrations that we all face as professional detailers. And that is why we set out to build a company that eliminates those frustrations, to provide excellent customer service, quality products, reliability, efficiency, products that check all the boxes as professional detailers we need and we want.
Find out why so many detailers around the world are loving the Aquatech difference. Join our team today at aquatechcoatings.com.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so I've got these three questions. Hopefully it'll be able to translate, or you'll be able to understand. I'm sure you will. So the first one, I call it the Groundhog Day question. So I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, but essentially what happens is he's just like a terrible human being. So, you know, fate bestows him the night before, or the day of Groundhog Day, that he's just going to live Groundhog Day over and over again until he makes his life right. Right. So even if he kills himself, he still wakes up the next morning. It's still Groundhog Day. So if you were stuck in Groundhog Day, you woke up every day, it's the same day, you're just living that day over and over again. After you've gotten past the point of wanting to just kill yourself, what would be the thing that you would try to do with that one day that you know it'll carry, even though you wake up the same day tomorrow, it still carries over, right? So like in the movie, he learns to play the piano and he, you know, like he becomes like a really good piano player, and everybody thinks he just, you know, did it in one day. You know, he tries to be charitable, things like that. So if you had one day to kind of do something and try to better yourself, and you knew every day you were going to try and do that thing to get better at it, what would it be? And you can't say detailing, because you're already pretty good at it.
Ready? Oh gosh. I would love to learn how to race, to drive a race car on the track. That's not really something you would, yeah. God, that's really.
Listen, you could start out one day karting, right? And then however many days it would take you for reliving that race, or reliving that day, you know, you might be starting the Bahrain race in Max's place here in the next,
That's awesome.
Couple of hours.
And also, Martin already has a woman inside her F1 team, so I will be the first one in Red Bull.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so the next question is the Back to the Future question. I'm sure you know the Back to the Future movie, right?
Yeah.
So the DeLorean, you have access to the DeLorean. You can go anywhere in time, forwards, backwards. Where are you going to go and why?
I don't know if I want to go back to the future. Is that weird to say? I like my life how it is now. And I'm happy now. So maybe when my grandpa lived, I would go back to this and spend the last day with him again or something.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be really nice with my grandpa and my grandma. My grandma still lives, but she's 93. And my grandpa, he died, I think, 3 weeks when I was born. So for me, I would go back to this and really meet him as a person, because I've heard he's really awesome. And yeah.
That's cool. I like that one. So far, you're the third. I think you're the third person I've done these questions with so far, and everybody has wanted to go back and spend some time with a family member that they've lost. Which I think is awesome. Yeah. Okay, and then this one's just a fun one. So what is your death row last meal?
Steak.
100%. Any kind of steak or just steak?
No, a ribeye steak and a medium rare with some pepper sauce and some fries on the side with truffle mayonnaise. Okay. I'm a steak girl. Hey. Sorry.
No, that's perfect. I mean, it's funny when people think about it quick, because I always think about it and I go, you know, the last burger, or the last pizza,
steak.
Like, I don't, you know, like, I like a bunch of different things. Like,
yeah, me too.
You
know, I love everything. I eat everything, yeah. But steak
is just it. Steak tops the charts.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it does. Yeah, it's just, it melts in your mouth when it's done good. And for me, it's my happy food. I always make a little dance when I eat steak.
And eat steak. That's awesome. Okay, so we're done. I appreciate you for doing this. I know it's, you know, it's been a lot of back and forth, and thank you for, you know, being patient and, you know, not just being like,
oh, thank you for being patient, because I was the one that.
No, listen, I feel like I have to, you know, be on your time. So I'm just glad that you just don't get annoyed with me messaging you like, hey, we need to do this. Hey, we need to do this. Hey, we need to do this. Come up with a time. Come up with a time, because I know you're busy. But before I let you go, I want to give you the opportunity for, I mean, I'm sure all of your fans are going to listen to this, so there's not a problem with it. But if there's somebody who doesn't know who you are and has listened to you and would like to follow you or learn more about you or whatever, what's all your ats? Because I know you got a bunch of them. So
yeah, but I only use Instagram the most, and that's Detailing Girl, Detailing_Girl. And on TikTok, I'm The Detailing Girl, because Detailing Girl was already taken. And it's done_detailing_girl. And Facebook, I've got almost 5,000 followers, so they can add me, but I can't add them anymore, because then it's done. So yeah, I've got, I think, over a few thousand still wanting to add me, but I just can't. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Well, again, Esme, thank you so much. It's always great talking to you. I love watching your story. I've loved watching you grow. I think, you know, when you were talking back earlier about, you know, the Instagram and Detailers Bible and a couple of those other sites kind of were sharing you, I think that's how I originally found you, because I don't think I just stumbled upon you. I think it was, and it's crazy because I feel like I've been following you for so long now that I don't even remember, but that's, I think it was from a repost, and I was like, oh wow, this girl looks like she's doing some pretty badass stuff. Let me follow her. So it's been cool to kind of watch your journey go from, you know, the 40,000 to the 60,000 to 100,000 now to 200,000, and watch, you know, the cars that you're doing and the work that you're doing. And then again, going from the old van to the new van, to the shop, to all that stuff. So I appreciate, you know, just watching your growth. I wish nothing but the best for you going forward. And hey, we'll have to do this again, and not so long.
Yeah, not in 2 years again.
But we'll have to figure out a time that's not so early for me too. No, it's all good. It's all good. All right. Well, thank you. You have a great day. I appreciate it. Go do work.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. All right. So that was Esme, aka The Detailing Girl. She's always great. Like I said, she's been great to message and get replies from and things like that. It just you know, she's 6 hours ahead, so it's always a little tough. Her, and then the other one is Joey Love. God, I want to get that guy on the podcast so bad, but he's 6 hours behind. So then it's, you know, trying to figure out a good time with him. So hopefully we'll get Joey on soon. That's it. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell anywhere that you are listening to it. Please leave a 5-star review. It doesn't take but a second. Click that. All you gotta do is click 5 stars. Boom, click. Be done with it. If you're on Apple, it'd be great if you write a nice little review. The wax, if you're listening this long, the Red Delight wax should be, I think Rick said, shipping out next week, or actually this week when you guys listen to this, this week. So hopefully I have that soon. Me and Knox should get our waxes at the same time or around the same time. So I think what we're going to do is do a little special live, or do a podcast where we just get on and talk absolute shit about each other. I mean, what else is new? But yeah. So listen, you guys have a great day, night, weekend, whenever you're listening to this. Thank you so much. Take care.